Hello and welcome to Oaks Talk on Tuesday, the 18th of November 2025. My name is Bridget and I'll be compiling this week's edition, in which you will hear a selection of news items from the local Oaks Talk papers, chosen and read by Marianne Moxon and Kirsten Dennis. Copying and distribution of the USBs is by Michelle Lawful. Before we start, here's some information on how to listen to Oaks Talk on your Alexa device. At the end of the news, you can hear information on how to access Oaks Talk online. Additionally, in case it's useful to you, the sunrise times this week will range from 7:24 on Monday 17th of November to 7:38 on Sunday 23rd of November. And the sunset times this week will range from 16:12 on Monday 17th of November to 16:03 on Sunday 23rd of November.
Notice to listeners of Oaks Talk who may wish to use an Alexa smart speaker to access our service. To listen to Oaks Talk on an Alexa device, you can use the Talking Newspaper skill. You will need to first enable the skill. To do this, simply say, "Alexa, enable Talking Newspaper." Then, to listen to Oaks Talk, please follow this procedure. Alexa, open Talking Newspaper.
Welcome to your Talking Newspaper skill. Please say the name of a newspaper or a town or city you would like to hear from.
Oxford.
Here are the following newspapers nearest to Oxford. Please pick a newspaper name. Oxford and District Talking News, Whitney Talking News Latest Edition, Whitney Talking News Previous Edition, Whitney Talking Magazine, Wallingford, and District Talking Newspaper. Or do you want to hear more?
Oxford and District Talking News.
Do you want to listen to Oxford and District Talking News?
Yes.
This is Oxford and District Talking News.
If you have any problems listening to Oaks Talk using an Alexa device, it could be due to the way that your device is set up. Please check the settings with whoever set it up in the first place. If you still have problems, please contact Oaks Talk and we will try to help.
Abingdon's popular open-air pool has had a record year for attendance despite having to cope with a costly vandal attack. More than 30,000 people visited Abingdon Abbey Meadows outdoor pool this summer, double the number of swimmers in 2024, it was announced last week. Vale of Whitehorse District Council and its leisure provider GLL, which operates under the Better name, had initially planned to open the pool on July the 19th. But with temperatures hitting 20 degrees, the council decided to open the pool for swimmers earlier than usual, and the first customers were allowed at the end of June. The decision paid off, with thousands more people taking the opportunity to enjoy a swim outdoors. The successful season came despite a vandal attack from youths who broke into the pool complex out of hours and caused thousands of pounds worth of damage on June the 19th. We signed off the season with our ever-popular dog swim, which made a splash with the local canine population. We'll be looking to build on these successes in 2026. As well as the slightly longer season, the rise in pool users is being attributed to a summer of warm weather, which meant people made repeat visits to the pool and splash pad. There was a wide range of activities, including school private hires at the start of the season and theme seasons for young people. The final weekend saw the return of doggy swims.
An Army bomb disposal squad was called to an Oxford park after a rusty hand grenade was pulled out of the River Charwell. Thames Valley Police said the explosive ordnance disposal experts dealt with the vintage explosive device, which was found in Sunnymead Park on Sunday. Zoe Hunter, a fisherman with the Tame Magnet Fishing Group, found the grenade. Meanwhile, Darren Schaefer of the same group found a First World War revolver. A cordon was put in place while the detonation was carried out. A spokesperson for the police force said, a member of the public found a rusty grenade in the water while magnet fishing on Sunday. Officers were called to the scene at 2:15 p.m. and EOD attended shortly afterward.
Plans to demolish a building in Headington and replace it with eight flats have been approved after the council refused a similar proposal earlier this year. Dunn has applied to build a three-story building on London Road in Headington, with 8 flats in place of existing semi-detached property. 6 of the flats will have 4 bedrooms and 2 of them will have 3. And they will be used as houses of multiple occupation.
Concerned householders have warned that it is a ticking time bomb before their homes get flooded after their street was left completely underwater. Kate and Richard Wakefield bought their house in Buttercross Lane, Whitney, as a new build 12 years ago. Since then, they say the permeable brick drainage system has not been maintained at all, leading to flooding at the slightest rainfall. On Monday, November 10, the road flooded following rainfall, which, according to Mr. and Mrs. Wakefield, is at least the 5th time this has occurred this year alone. The floodwater pools in the road and rises over the pavement, taking several days to drain away, said Mr. Wakefield. In that time, cars and gardens are repeatedly engulfed by the tidal wave from constantly moving traffic passing through. Elderly residents from the neighboring care home literally cannot access the footpath in this time, and when the water ices up in cold periods, it's a slippery hazard for all and is an accident waiting to happen. Once it's drained away, the large buildup of clay sludge requires manual cleanup by residents. Years of complaining on the Fix My Street website and to the council has become a constant frustration with no progress or signs of a solution. Mr. Wakefield added, "My wife and I are constantly stressed, knowing it's a ticking time bomb before our house gets flooded, frustrated by the noise all day and night as drivers speed through the flood, and disappointed by our now dissolved developers who decided a permeable brick drainage system would work." Frustrated County Councilor Thomas Ashby said locals should absolutely not have to live with this predictable drama every time it rains. The Conservative councilor said he has escalated this issue directly to senior leaders at Oxfordshire County Council seeking immediate action, which follows months of frustrating non-answers. But Andrew Gant, Oxfordshire County Council's cabinet member for transport management, says the situation is far from simple and that there are no quick and easy short-term solutions. Mr. Ashby said, "An Oxfordshire County Council flood officer confirmed the fix should be simple. Install a drain underground from Buttercross Lane straight into Queen Emma's Dyke. The usual excuse is funding. This is unacceptable when residents' lives are disrupted constantly." A spokesperson for the county council said, "Funding is not necessarily the issue. A capital-funded solution will need to be designed and implemented through the Capital Works program." Mr. Ashby is requesting the authority to install temporary pumping and to send a road sweeper immediately to clear the hazardous mess left behind. A council spokesman said, "The site is permeable paving construction with a section that is not allowing infiltration. This is also in the low spot for the whole of the access road, which suffered from lack of proper maintenance prior to adoption by Oxfordshire County Council, hence the drainage issues now."
Deprivation across Oxford has reduced, but the city remains unequal, new data reveals. The English Indices of Deprivation 2025, which includes data on income, employment, health, education, crime, housing, and living environment, is a measure of relative deprivation across England. The 2025 data shows there continues to be a stark divide between the most and least deprived areas of the city. 21 of Oxford's 83 neighbourhoods are now in the 10% least deprived areas in England, with one area in Headington in the 1% least deprived. 4 areas, 2 in Blackbird Leas, 1 in Littlemore and 1 in Rose Hill, are in the 20% most deprived areas. Areas that have moved out of the 20% most deprived areas of the country are Barton and Sandhills, an area in Blackbird Leas, an area of Northfield Brook, Rose Hill and Iffley and Carfax. Susan Brown, leader of Oxford City Council, said, "We know that Oxford is one of the most unequal cities in the country, with the gap between the most and least deprived areas continuing to persist. We know that one of the main drivers of poverty and inequality in Oxford is the high cost of housing in the city, with many families having to move out of Oxford due to rising costs."
A developer has said sorry that roadworks at a roundabout are taking longer than expected. Oxfordshire County Council has banned David Wilson Homes from moving people into new homes at Abbey Fields in Abingdon until an agreement has been reached over the Peachcroft roundabout. Uncharted pipes were discovered under Oxford Road back in the summer, which nobody wanted to claim. Consequently, the discovery has stopped any progress on drainage works under the road, which must be finished before the new Peachcroft roundabout is completed. But an agreement was made between the two parties before the development began, saying that those projects must be completed by the time the 150th home is occupied. Oxfordshire County Council said this threshold has now been exceeded and the agreement has been breached. A spokesman for David Wilson Homes Southern said the company doesn't want to hold people from moving into new homes and is seeking an urgent resolution. He said, "We are sorry that the upgrades to the Peachcroft roundabout are taking longer than planned, but we remain absolutely committed to completing them as soon as possible. The delay has been caused by finding unknown water and gas pipes in the ground that were not on the original council's drawings. Whilst we appreciate the council's request to pause future home completions, we do not want to hold people up moving into their houses, including 13 much-needed affordable homes. We are urgently speaking with the council to find a way to both deliver the roundabout works and to not disrupt any future home occupations." Oxfordshire County Council spokesman told this newspaper that it is vital the road infrastructure is completed so Abingdon's traffic can cope with the extra people moving to the town. Construction is well underway for the approved 425 homes to be built within three phases at Abingdon North. However, Vale of Whitehorse District Council has allocated the area to have up to 900 homes and 50 retirement homes, together with a primary school, community hub, care home, children's nursery, a pub or restaurant, retail and other services. As part of that space, new roads and infrastructure would also have to be built to accommodate the extra cars. Earlier this year, a formal complaint was made to the developers by the town council regarding the roadworks. Drivers have been facing temporary traffic lights in Oxford Road, one of the main routes into the town, while utilities work has been taking place. The roadworks have been in place for months. The timetable has overrun numerous times, and in the summer, contractors Hope and Clay were threatened with fines following multiple breaches of permit conditions.
Asylum seekers are set to be housed in a historic cottage. A planning application has been submitted to South Oxfordshire District Council for the temporary use of Pitt Cottage. Found in Marlow Road, slightly north of Henley, the cottage was built in the late 1700s on the Fawley Court estate under the ownership of Gray's Court, now a National Trust attraction. The application would allow Ukrainians to reside in the cottage under the Homes for Ukraine sponsorship scheme. Homes for Ukraine is a government-led scheme where people can open their homes to let in those fleeing Russia's war in their homeland. Across the past 3 years in which the war has been going on, almost 3,000 Ukrainians have been staying in Oxfordshire.
A flying school at Oxford Airport has gone bust, with creditors expected to lose out on money. Liquidators have been instructed to wind down Go Fly Oxford, which provided lessons for commercial and private pilot licenses. Colin Wilson and Emma Misfood of Opus Restructuring and Insolvency have been appointed as joint liquidators for GoFly Oxford Limited. Statement of affairs for the business revealed a £230,621 deficiency for creditors, including employees, HMRC, and Oxford Airport. However, there are only £6,000 worth of assets on the company's books that will be available for creditors, meaning it's likely everybody is going to lose out. HMRC is owed £118,133 in unpaid VAT and payee, the liquidator's report says, and two employees have claims totaling £3,366. Oxford Airport at Yarnton has two claims for debts, the first for an unspecified reason totaling £1,926, and for unpaid rent, there is a claim of £16,720. Its website, which has since been shut down, described the business. "At GoFly Oxford, we pride ourselves on offering personal and tailored approach to pilot training. We know that people learn at different paces and in different ways. This makes catering for individual needs our main target." Oxford Airport's main trade is pilot training. Flight schools at Oxford train pilots who go on to fly for more than 100 airlines globally, including for British Airways. Historically, the airport has been Europe's foremost center for professional pilot training, with well over 40,000 students having started their careers there. At one point, the airport's runway was the busiest in the world, with more than 235,000 movements a year, a takeoff or landing, and up to 1,100 flights in a single day, its website says. Oxford Airport's largest flight school is Leading Edge Aviation, which according to its most recent accounts saw a 25% increase in students starting their 18-month training course in the year to March 2024 compared to the prior year. But even still, Leading Edge Aviation posted a £14,005,839 loss last year, down by almost £4.5 million the year prior, with only £2,359,031 in assets available, its accounts reveal. The business's report says, over the course of 2025, the company will be complementing its Diamond DA-40 fleet with a new fleet of Elixir aircraft, a safer and more efficient type of aircraft, which will provide a much reduced cost per flight hour. This, along with growth in enrollments and full utilization of the European base, will ensure the profitability of the business in the coming years.
Companies who dig up Oxfordshire's busiest roads for repair works will now face a daily charge from Oxfordshire County Council as an incentive to finish roadworks quickly and reduce traffic disruption. The Department for Transport gave permission for the council to introduce a lane rental scheme, which allows the county council to impose a charge per day of work on busy roads at peak times.
Community groups are being invited to apply for new funding to support cost of living projects. Charwell District Council has launched a fresh round of the Household Support Fund, offering grants of up to £3,000 for resident-focused schemes in North Oxfordshire. The funding aims to back projects that provide targeted support to residents facing financial challenges. Rob Pattenden, Charwell District Council's portfolio holder for Healthy Communities, said, "Community groups are the beating heart of Charwell and shape the identity of who we are as a district. It is important to us that groups are empowered to deliver projects right where they are needed. This Household Support Fund is a vital tool in helping us build a stronger, more connected Charwell. It ensures that residents and groups are being supported where it matters." The scheme is funded through Oxfordshire County Council's allocation of this national program, with £55,000 set aside for cost of living projects and £45,000 earmarked for community food partners. Groups can apply for up to £3,000 to support schemes involving food provision or storage, cooking activities, growing, nutrition or food education, hygiene products, and household equipment.
A new council strategy has been introduced aimed at breaking the cycle of homelessness. The Joint Homelessness and Rough Sleeping Strategy was developed by South Oxfordshire and Vale of the White Horse District Councils following a public consultation in May and June. The strategy focuses on ensuring that support for vulnerable people is accessible, effective, and timely. The councils have managed to keep local homelessness levels low, despite demand for homeless services increasing locally and nationally. This has been achieved by working closely with those at risk of homelessness to help them find sustainable accommodation. The councils will continue to purchase property to be used as temporary accommodation, reducing the need for bed and breakfasts. According to the latest figures for Q1 April to June 2025, more than 50% of people registered as homeless in the southeast stayed in nightly paid or bed and breakfast accommodation. The new strategy also aims to identify issues early on, such as hidden homelessness and sofa surfing, as eviction by family and friends is identified as the top reason for home loss in the districts. For the complete strategy and assistance with homelessness, visit the South Oxfordshire and Vale of Whitehorse District Council's websites.
An energy supplier has found that many local businesses are still struggling to understand their energy bills, as confusing jargon continues to cloud the real cost of power. Bicester-based Valda Energy's latest research reveals that certain terms remain a mystery for many business owners. Valda's findings show that confusion around upcoming changes like TNUOS charges and the autumn statement is making it even harder for businesses to stay on top of their bills. Researchers at Valda Energy analyzed more than 75,000 online, forum, and social conversations to identify the energy-related terms that people most often admit they don't understand or find confusing. Here's the list of most confusing energy-related terms. Kilowatt-hour, kWh, the standard unit for measuring electricity consumption, representing the energy used by a 1,000-watt appliance running for 1 hour. Heat pumps, electrical devices that extract heat from air, ground, or water sources to provide efficient heating and hot water. Green energy, electricity generated from renewable sources such as wind, solar, hydro, and biomass. Great British Energy, a planned publicly owned clean energy company announced by the UK government to accelerate renewable energy development. Smart meter, the newer generation of gas and electricity meters that automatically send meter reads on a half-hourly basis. These are known as SMETs, Smart Metering Equipment Technical Specifications. The latest version of these meters are known as SMETs 2. Net zero, a state where the volume of greenhouse gases produced is balanced by those that are removed from the atmosphere. The UK target is to reach net zero by 2050. Ofgem, the Office of Gas and Electricity Markets, is a government regulator for gas and electricity markets. Inflation. In the energy market, this can affect costs through higher wholesale prices, network charges, and supplier operating costs. Energy price cap. A limit set by Ofgem on the maximum amount suppliers can charge domestic customers per unit of energy. It is not linked to what businesses pay for energy. Department for Energy Security and Net Zero, DESNZ, the UK government department responsible for energy policy, security of supply, and delivering net zero emissions by 2050. Jaljeet Kaur, Chief Operating Officer at Volda Energy, said, "Our research consistently shows that unclear terminology isn't a minor issue. It directly affects how small businesses manage and plan their daily operations. That's why we've created our new official SME Energy Glossary, where business owners can find simple, reliable explanations from a trusted source. Our glossary is designed to give them the clarity and confidence that they need to handle these harder economic times."
The founder of a popular bakery has won the Baker of the Year award, recognizing her dedication to her craft. Tonya Aragon, who founded Imma the Bakery in Stoke Row near Wallingford about 5 years ago, has been awarded the prestigious prize at the Baking Industry Awards 2025. The business owner is hands-on in the daily operation of the stunning bakery in South Oxfordshire village, and said her only goal each morning is to do what I did yesterday, but a little better. For Mrs. Aragon, who came to the UK from Mexico, where she had a fine dining restaurant, said her and her team's commitment comes from a deep-rooted belief in the importance of what they do. She said running a bakery is not something that anyone wants to do, because if it's a nice thing, there's a lot of sacrifice, a lot of work involved. Our popularity feels like support for that work and for the service we provide. To me, it's all about the team, she said. The award is really nice and honestly, really unexpected. Two Oxford academics are among 28 global researchers awarded prestigious fellowships to shape the future of artificial intelligence. Professor Philip Torr and Dr. Christian Schroeder DeWitt, both from Oxford University's Department of Engineering Science, have been named A1 2050 Research Fellows by Schmidt Sciences. The fellowships support researchers whose work could drive transformative progress in AI by the year 2050. Professor Torr, who received a 2025 AI 2050 Senior Fellowship, is known for his contributions to computer vision, AI safety, and agentic systems. He has founded several companies, including OxSight, which develops technology to support people with visual impairments. He said, "This fellowship gives me the chance to work on my dream project. The aim is to launch a new discipline of computational historiography, where AI and humans collaborate to better understand the forces that have shaped and may continue to shape human history." Dr. Schroeder DeWitt awarded a 2025 AI 2050 Early Career Fellowship, leads the Oxford WITLAB Lab and focuses on AI safety, security, and global technology policy.
A global award has been presented to Oxford Brookes University for its pioneering clean energy education partnership. The university was one of just five projects worldwide to be recognized at the Going Global Partnerships Awards 2025. The university in Headington's collaboration with Helwan University in Egypt was praised for transforming hybrid vehicle technology education and driving clean energy innovation. The project has enhanced Helwan's hybrid and electric vehicle technology curriculum, from which more than 150 students have graduated. The partnership also engages both university and high school learners in climate education and sustainability initiatives, embedding clean energy concepts that encourage students to shape the future of transportation and renewable technology. Professor Gordana Collier, head of the School of Engineering, Computing, and Mathematics at Oxford Brookes, said, "We are incredibly proud to see this partnership recognized on a global stage. Working with colleagues at Helwan University, we've created opportunities for students to learn, innovate, and contribute to Egypt's transition towards a cleaner, more sustainable future." The project also established the Helwan Tech Racing Formula Student Team, a female co-led group whose concept electric car has competed internationally, including at Silverstone 2025, and was showcased at COP27. Since 2021, the Going Global Partnerships program has supported more than 900 collaborations between UK and international institutions across more than 60 countries.
A school has earned a Green Flag Award for its commitment to sustainability and environmental action. Aureus School in Didcot was recognized through the Eco Schools program for its efforts to reduce its environmental impact and promote eco-friendly practices. Brad Rayner, head of humanities at Aureus and founder of the school's Eco Club, said Eco Schools is incredibly important to educate our young people about the environment and to show the community how they can make a difference in practical ways. The award follows a series of green initiatives led by students and staff. Head teacher Kirsty Rogers launched a project to install solar panels, resulting in a reduction of the school's carbon output by 6.2 tons. Students also planted more than 140 hedge and tree saplings through a scheme sponsored by the Woodland Trust. Other measures included fitting 1-liter containers to toilet cisterns to save water estimated to have conserved thousands of liters. Aureus School, part of the GLF Multi-Academy Trust, launched a Cut Your Carbon campaign and worked with the Eco Club on projects ranging from litter picking to energy conservation. Students also produce social media videos offering tips on saving water and electricity. The Eco Schools program, run by Keep Britain Tidy, began in 1994 and aims to help schools become more sustainable through student-led action. Through hands-on activities and awareness campaign, the club has helped embed sustainability into daily school life. A primary school's green team has been working to create a greener city. Wood Farm Primary School's team has been busy planting 200 bulbs in Headington, cleaning graffiti, and picking up litter in Bury Knoll Park. The team also planted flowers and herbs at Wood Farm shops. They even made signs to inform the community that they can pick and use the herbs, which include mint, rosemary, and chives. The team expressed pride in their contributions, stating their hope that their efforts will instill a sense of community pride in others too. They believe that such initiatives can transform Headington into a happier, greener place to live. An MP has lobbied the Education Secretary for improvements after the sudden closure of a private school in Abingdon left families scrambling to find places. Our Lady's Abingdon in Radley Road was forced to close permanently for financial reasons, according to its governors, who sent letters to parents in August alerting them of the news. Following the closure announcements, schools across the county rallied to find places for more than 300 pupils. Layla Moran said students, families and teachers were shocked by the sudden closure of Our Lady's Abingdon over the summer holidays. Going forwards, there must be earlier dialogue between the local authorities and schools to ensure that pupils' and parents' interests are number one priority, County Councillor Neil Fawcett, who represents Abingdon South and is also a leader of the council, said earlier that state school pupils could at some point use the school, although the site has not yet been sold. He said last month, in Abingdon area, there's surplus places overall, which is how we've been able to find places for those who came to the state sector from Our Lady's Abingdon. Two rooms at the Horton General Hospital Children's Ward have been transformed into a superhero suite. The treatment rooms have been given a makeover, complete with images of superheroes, space stations, flying animals, and Bambury's lady on a white horse, all intended to entertain young patients. The transformation was made possible by funds raised by the Tombling family, who have been avidly fundraising for the ward since their six-year-old son, Zach, passed away in May 2024. The money they raised has been put towards making the children's ward more welcoming for both the young patients and their families. The superhero suite was officially unveiled at a rainbow ribbon-cutting ceremony attended by the Tombling family, staff from the ward, the design company, and members of the Horton General Hospital charity.
Junior doctors are set to stage a five-day walkout. The strike will take place from 7 a.m. on Friday, November 14th. Until 7 a.m. on Wednesday, November 19th. This will impact NHS services across Buckinghamshire, Oxfordshire, and Berkshire West. The action will affect several NHS trusts in the region, including Buckinghamshire Healthcare NHS Trust, Oxford University Hospitals NHSFT, Oxford Health NHSFT, Royal Berkshire NHSFT, and Berkshire Healthcare NHSFT. During the strike, consultants and other specialist doctors will remain on duty. The NHS will be working closely with unions to discuss any patient safety concerns and ensure safe staffing for emergency care continues to be available. However, health leaders have warned that significant disruption is expected, especially to planned appointments and operations. While NHS trusts will do their best to only cancel planned appointments and operations where it is necessary, there will be significant disruption to some services. Patients with appointments booked on strike days will be contacted if their appointment has to be rescheduled due to industrial action. If they have not been contacted, they should attend the appointment as planned. The public is being urged to use NHS services wisely during the strike, including turning to NHS 111 online for non-urgent medical concerns. Dr. Ben Riley, Chief Medical Officer at the NHS Bob International Care Board, said, "Regardless of any strike action taking place, it's really important that patients who need urgent medical care continue to come forward as normal, especially in emergency and serious life-threatening cases when someone is seriously ill or injured or their life is at risk." This round of action comes as the NHS is already managing the busy winter period, so we are asking patients to choose services appropriately this period and take simple steps to ensure care is available for people who need it most. This includes NHS 111 online as the first port of call for health needs, and as ever, only using 999 if it is a serious or life-threatening emergency. For more information on when to call 999 and when to go to the A&E, see the NHS UK website. Dr. Riley has also called for patience and understanding from the public. He added, "NHS staff will work hard during this very challenging time. We are asking everyone to treat them with respect. We appreciate people's understanding and cooperation during this period." A familiar face and former player has taken on a newly created leadership role at Oxford City Football Club. Eddie Obiambo has been appointed as the club's first ever head of football, community, and culture in a position designed to strengthen the club's impact on and off the pitch. The role has been introduced by Oxford City FC in partnership with Ignite Sports UK and Velocity Football to support player development, community engagement, and educational outreach. Justin Merritt, owner of Oxford City FC, said, "This new role is part of our wider strategy to further focus on our people and our community, developing footballing opportunities through education, coaching, and culture. This step up is hugely deserved, and Eddie is the perfect person to lead the club into the inspiring, inclusive, and impactful place we strive to be." Mr. Odiambo, who has been working as head of football at Oxford City sister company Velocity, will play a pivotal role within the club's junior, youth, and education programs, including its school and holiday camp programs with Ignite Sport and the club's charity arm, the Hoops Foundation. He will now ensure that there is a place for everyone at the M Group Stadium, from the City Tots through to Velocity Education programs. With more than 380 professional appearances during his 17-year playing career, where he represented clubs including Southampton, Oxford United, and Newport County, Mr. Odhiambo continues to be a huge inspiration to the students and players he mentors. Following his retirement from professional football, he worked as head of year at St. Bernius School in Didcot before taking on the role of head of player care at the Oxford United Academy. It was then he joined Velocity Football, where he served as head of football. During his time at Velocity Football, Mr. Odhiambo has overseen a golden period of development, which has seen numerous players from the program progress into Oxford City FC's men's and women's first teams, and others into external professional academies. Mr. Odhiambo said, "I'm super excited. We've had a fantastic couple of years in creating pathways with young people. We've had aspirational learners of players who have gone on to university, full-time employment, or professional football." Oxford United women were knocked out of the FAWNL Cup after a dramatic second-half collapse against Plymouth Argyle. The team lost 3-2 in the League Cup competition. The match took place on Sunday, the 9th of November, and the defeat marks a disappointing exit for the Yellows in the knockout competition. Oxford women started the game brightly, which saw them take what appeared to be a commanding 2-goal lead into the halftime break. Nicole Barrett opened the scoring in the 15th minute, capitalizing on a loose back pass. Despite a strong effort from Plymouth's goalkeeper Hermione Cull, Barrett's shot still managed to find its way into the net. And just 8 minutes later, Barrett turned provider, delivering a precise cross that Emma Thompson expertly converted, threatening to trample all over Plymouth's unbeaten home record. The visitors appeared to be on the verge of securing a third goal before halftime, but Cull was in fine form, denying United on 3 occasions, including an excellent save from Maisie Barker in stoppage time. However, the second half saw a shift in momentum as Plymouth applied all the pressure on the visitors. The home side began to dominate, forcing several corners, and it was from one of these set pieces that Layla Proctor headed home to reduce the deficit. As the match progressed, Oxford appeared less threatening, and the hosts seized control. In the 80th minute, former Oxford player Ellie Noble equalized with a free kick that struck the underside of the bar before crossing the line. The goal left the Yellows stunned and fighting to stay in the competition. However, the decisive moment came shortly after in controversial circumstances. Nick Gibson made what seemed to be a clean tackle on Tiana Tizar, but the referee awarded a penalty to Plymouth. Phoebe Poole stepped up and converted, sending goalkeeper Beth Wookie the wrong way, sealing Oxford's fate in the competition. After the match, coach Sean Green reflected on the performance, stating, "First half, I thought we were almost flawless, controlled the game and created opportunities. We knew what to expect in the second half. I don't think we took control of the game. I was disappointed with the nature of the goals, particularly the third goal. But ultimately, it comes down to us as a group to ensure that we can see the game out, and that was lacking a bit in the second half." Oxford United women will have an immediate opportunity to avenge this defeat as they host Plymouth again this Sunday, the 16th, at the M Group Stadium in a National League fixture. Gary Rowett has dubbed his Oxford United an easy touch in his assessment of the season so far after West Bromwich Albion beat the U's 2-1 on Saturday afternoon, November 8th. The U's lost their second game in a row in the championship after letting their short-lived lead slip at the Hawthorns. After a slow first half, where the Baggies peppered the Yellows' goal with shots, Will Lancashire put his side ahead not long after halftime, swinging the ball home after Shemislav Placeta's cross was dummied by Nick Prelik and put on a plate for the striker. It took just 2 minutes for Ryan Mason's men to respond, though, as the hosts forced an own goal from Greg Lee, Jamie Cummings' save bouncing off the left back and into his own net. West Brom found a winner in the 70th minute when Una Hegebo headed home an Isaac Price cross after a good run toward the near post. Out of form prior to kickoff, the West Midlands club went into the game without a win in 4 league matches, not scoring a goal for 6 hours. Sitting 21st in the championship, United are no winless in three, an unfortunate way to send themselves into the final international break of the calendar year. I'm really disappointed in the position we're in, Rowett admitted. I'm really disappointed with the points total we've got. I'm really disappointed with the way that we've just been a little bit of an easy touch at times to score against, and it's up to me to find that balance. That's my job. I'm the head coach, so I'll try and find those solutions in the international break to give us a better opportunity. It looks like the U's are going to have another tough battle to stay in the second tier again this campaign. Taking over from the dismissed Des Buckingham last year, Rowett guided his side to safety, 5 places and 4 points clear of the drop. It was not at all smooth sailing, and the 51-year-old was keen to remind people that it is unlikely to be any different this time around. We know this season is going to have lots and lots of ups and downs. It did last season, 25, 26 games in which we stayed up. There were 3 periods, one of which we won 1 game out of 11. At the moment, we need to also have those periods where we maybe go and win 2 games in a row, which we haven't done at the moment. It is coming up to a year since the U's last won 2 games in a row. Those 2 results were a 3-2 win over Cardiff City on Boxing Day, followed by a 2-0 victory against Plymouth Argyle 3 days later. Both those sides were relegated later on in the season, which is only evidence that these feats must be accomplished over beatable teams in the league in order for Rowett's men to propel themselves to safety. The international break, then, will be a good chance to re-energize and re-motivate the U's players before a busy Christmas period and a difficult match against Middlesbrough in the 2 weeks' time. It's more of a week of reflection, some part of it a little bit of rest, and then a week of really hard work in order to be in a better position. Gary Rowett has disclosed that he wants Oxford United striker Mark Harris to get minutes for Wales in the final international break of the calendar year. The Dragons face Liechtenstein on Saturday evening, November 15th, followed by a Tuesday night clash with North Macedonia in 2 crucial World Cup qualifiers. Harris has been limited to solely substitute appearances in the championship since game week 2, which was his last start for the U's. The striker has been usurped by Tottenham Hotspur's loanee Wilk Lancashire and Calgary loan forward Nick Prelick in the pecking order, resulting in a lack of minutes that he has not experienced much of yet in his United career. Craig Bellamy's usual first-choice striker, Kiefer Moore, has pulled out of the Kemri squad due to injury, offering the Swansea-born Yellows forward a chance to find some form in 2 games in which his nation will be favourites. For someone like Sparky, who's not had tons of game time recently, which is sort of unusual for him, hopefully he gets some minutes, U's boss Rao admitted. It's a good opportunity for someone like him to get away and hopefully get involved and play some games. For him mentally, it is a challenge when you're not in the team all the time. Harris is yet to score in 13 Oxford appearances so far this season and did not make it off the bench in their 2-1 defeat to West Bromwich Albion at the weekend. Also departing Oxfordshire on international duty are Kieran Brown, Greg Lee, and Philip Krastev. Brown has played a full 90 minutes in each of the last 6 championship games after returning from injury, keeping 1 clean sheet in the 1-0 win against Derby County at the Kassam. Brownie is coming off the back of quite a big schedule, Rowett continued, so I won't be too displeased if he doesn't play many minutes, whereas the last time we wanted him to play some minutes. I think Greg again, it will be good for him to go and play games. Lee goes away with Jamaica and will face Trinidad and Tobago and Curaçao. He featured in the last international break, playing in a 4-0 victory over Bermuda. Summer signing Krastev faces Turkey and Georgia after featuring in 2 heavy defeats to Turkey and Spain last time out. It's a lot of pride for players to go and represent their nations. We should want them to do that, the 51-year-old U's boss stated. It means that our club is doing a decent job in terms of the quality of the player. When they come back, we'll do our usual, pick up the pieces and try and win the next game, because they don't tend to turn up for more than a day or two before the next fixture. Now winless in 3 games prior to the break, Oxford approach a relentless Christmas period that could prove decisive in their bid to stay in the division for a second season running. A home battle with Middlesbrough will be the first game back, another tough test against a team pushing for automatic promotion this campaign.
There are major changes afoot at a Cotswold village on the Oxfordshire border, dubbed the most beautiful in the world. Bybury was described by William Morris, the 19th century textile designer and artist, as the most beautiful village in England. With its 17th century terrace of weavers' cottages, which featured in films like Stardust and Bridget Jones' Diary, Bybury's history dates back to the Iron Age. Yet the village's prestige and reputation have also been its downfall recently, seeing its streets overrun with tourists. As many as 20,000 visitors can be attracted on weekends, which is more than 30 times its population. Locals have claimed it is like the Wild West due to coaches on the narrow roads, as well as gridlocks and disputes over parking. The villagers have called for action and have formed a working group which features councillors as well as the police. Gloucestershire County Council has also announced plans to tackle the problem after an earlier trial scheme in May, which saw coach bays closed temporarily. These changes, which will also include designated and safer drop-off and pick-up points for coaches being created, have been suggested to be made permanent. These plans also propose the implementation of a loading bay and disabled spaces, as well as the extension of yellow line restrictions. The council added that it would like to make public realm improvements, which would see raised curbing and seating areas. This will help pedestrianise parts of the village centre and improve the character of the village.
The County Museum has said an exceptional Iron Age treasure hoard belongs to the people of Oxfordshire after community fundraising secured its future. A fundraising campaign run by the Friends of Oxfordshire Museum raised £11,725 to allow the County Council Museum Service to purchase a treasure collection found in the county. Discovered 5 years ago in Rotherfield Papard near Henley, the rare artifacts will remain in the area where they were found and eventually go on public display thanks to the donations of 244 people. Councillor Neil Fawcett, Deputy Leader of Oxfordshire County Council, said, "This hoard, buried nearly 2,000 years ago, really belongs to the people of Oxfordshire, so it's fantastic to see the public rally around this campaign. Their support shows how important Oxfordshire's heritage is to our residents and beyond the county. We look forward to seeing this very special hoard on display at the museum once it has been conserved. By acquiring the collection, it is safeguarding for the public forever." The hoard was found in a pottery urn sealed by a kernstone, and pieces include a stunningly rare copper alloy and enameled Iron Age horse brooch. Also found was an enameled patera handle, a silver Roman coin, and a lead weight. The Iron Age of the British Isles started 800 years BC, and it is believed this hoard was buried in AD 50 to 150, shortly after the Roman invasion. It is classified as treasure under the Treasure Act for England and Wales, and as the county's repository for archaeological finds, the County Council Museum Service was given the first opportunity to acquire it for Oxfordshire. Now that it's been purchased, it will eventually go on display at the Oxfordshire Museum in Woodstock. Chairman of Friends of the Oxfordshire Museum, Edward Dowler, said, "The Friends of the Oxfordshire Museum are pleased to have hosted the museum's first crowdfunder campaign. We are very grateful to everyone who donated. In exceeding the fundraising target, the museum team will be able to deliver enhanced conservation and create an engaging display. We are all looking forward to seeing the end result." The campaign was supported by academics Dr. Rena McGuire, Dr. Sophia Adams, Professor Gary Locke, and Dr. Wendy Morrison, who shared their expertise to help explain the hoard's importance. Donors who gave £20 or more will be invited to a special private viewing of the treasure, and those who gave £200 or more will be named in the Oxfordshire Museum's archive as supporters.
The biggest charity fireworks to show in Oxfordshire returned to South Parks this weekend, with thousands in attendance. Oxford Round Table returned with its huge fireworks event in South Park Littlemore on Saturday, November 8th. Oxford Round, the traditional display, was the 57th annual event from the Oxford Charity, which hosted its first display in 1967 and is run by volunteers. This year, for the first time, the event included a low noise display earlier in the evening, designed for families with young children and those sensitive to loud noises to ensure it was successful for everyone. But for those looking for booving fun, the rest of the evening provided plenty of riotous entertainment. More than 30 charities will benefit from the money raised at the Oxford Fireworks display on Saturday.
Members of the public and staff gathered for a Remembrance Day service at Oxford Town Hall. They met today shortly before 11 a.m. to mark Armistice Day, honoring the moment in 1918 when the guns of the First World War fell silent. The ceremony followed the Remembrance Sunday service at the War Memorial in St. Giles and services in towns and villages across the county. Lord Mayor Louise Upton led the ceremony. She said, "My grandfather was a soldier in the Gurkhas. I have no idea what horrors he saw fighting the Japanese in Burma. His brother Eric died at the Somme in the First World War, and I never got to know him. For every battle, there are families who got that letter they hoped never to receive." There was a 2-minute silence at 11 a.m., and Cadet Sergeant Fionn Trinder of the Army Cadet Force read the exhortation. City Rector Reverend Anthony Buckley read a short prayer.
A county pub has been named among the world's best in the TripAdvisor's Traveler's Choice Awards. The Plow on North Street, Bicester, has been placed in the top 10% of pubs worldwide with the coveted award. The hostelry, which was saved from closure by locals Aaron Hodges, Maxine Hodges, Georgia Hodges, Catherine Wilson, and Jamie Gibbs in January 2024, has seen a year of success after winning New Licensee of the Year Award at the Pub Industry's nationally recognized Night of Excellence Awards in May. In March, Chef Lucas King competed at the International Salon Culinaire with the Hotel, Restaurant and Catering Show at the Excel and Excel London and won gold for his efforts.
Actor Ben Bailey Smith, also known as Doc Brown, is coming to the Follow the Stars Christmas concert in Oxford. Mr. Bailey Smith's career began as a rapper, touring with Mark Ronson before going into stand-up comedy in 2007. He went on to make a name for himself as a stand-up comedian, touring internationally under the alias of Doc Brown. The 48-year-old is coming to Oxford next month to perform at Macmillan's Christmas Carol service, Follow the Stars. Taking place in Christ Church Cathedral at the Oxford University College, the annual concert in aid of Macmillan Cancer Support has been a highlight of the festive calendar for the past 28 years. Since his Doc Brown days, the 48-year-old diversified into mainstream TV and film acting, screenwriting, and children's picture books and novels, including I Am Bear and Something I Said. He is a long-standing collaborator with Ricky Gervais, appearing in the Channel 4 comedy Derek and the 2016 sketch Equality Street, which led to the feature film Life on the Road. Television credits include Empire Agent Blevin in the hit Disney Plus original Star Wars Andor, Joe Gibson in Apple Plus's Suspicion, as well as a brief appearance in the cult classic comedy series The Inbetweeners.
Tiny kittens were rescued by firefighters after finding themselves in a tricky situation. Firefighters from Oxfordshire Fire and Rescue's Rewley Road attended an unusual call on Friday night. When the crew arrived at the property, they managed to discover two tiny 11-week-old kittens trapped in a tiny hole. Somehow, the kittens managed to squeeze themselves behind a bathroom sink pedestal. The service said using small cutting equipment, our firefighters delicately managed to create an opening and free the pair. Safe to say, the relieved owners will now be looking to block every gap and hole around the house. Oxfordshire pet owners have been urged to keep a close eye on their new pets.
Diners are being offered £5 off meals at an Oxford restaurant to offset the cost of the congestion charge. Since October 29, drivers in the city have been charged £5 to drive through 6 streets in the city center during the day if they do not have the required permits or exemptions. The county council introduced the scheme, which has been repeatedly criticized by some businesses and locals. Now, to help guests adjust to the new city center charge, the Ivy Oxford Brasserie is offering diners £5 off their meal from Monday to Thursday between November 10th to November 21st. Guests dining from the a la carte menu and ordering a main course will be able to get £5 off their bill when they book in advance. James Mitchell, general manager of the Ivy Oxford Brasserie, said, "Oxford's congestion charge is here to help keep our beautiful city moving, and we think that's something worth supporting. But we also know a little thank you never goes amiss, so whether you've braved the charge, walked, or made the most of the park and ride, we're treating our guests to £5 off their bill to make the journey that bit sweeter. Guests must book a table in advance for the offer." The Ivy Oxford Brasserie first opened in 2019 on the site of a former bank in High Street. The chain now has 45 restaurants across London, the UK, and Ireland.
That was everything for this week. If you have any comments or feedback about Oxtalk, you can telephone Margaret on 07496-062280. That is 07496-062280. Please remember to leave your name and contact number with your message. Alternatively, you can send an email to mail@oxtalk.org.uk. This edition and those from previous weeks are available on our website www.oxtalk.org.uk, where you can either listen directly or download the audio file. You can also listen on an Alexa device through the Talking Newspaper skills. If you need advice on these, please phone the main Oxtalk number. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next Tuesday with more news. So until then, we hope you have a good week.